Ulysses by James Joyce. Adapted for BBC Radio by John Scotney and produced by Peter Kavanagh. Episode 1. Introduced by Seamus Heaney.
Nobody should be put off by the title Ulysses. It sounds Greek and classical, but when James Joyce used the name as the title for his novel, he made it as modern and approachable as the headline of a newspaper. Its hero, in fact, is a sort of newspaper man himself. Like the Ulysses of legend, he wanders through the world, but his world is not a place of kings and courts and shipwrecks, but a city of bars and fights and funerals. His wife is not the classical, faithful Penelope, but an unfaithful, indolent concert singer called Molly Bloom. And then there is Stephen Dedalus, the young Dublin intellectual, whom his friends mock as a bard and a boozer. Yet Stephen is also an important aspect of his creator, James Joyce, who was determined, as he said, to forge the uncreated conscience of his race.
Stately, plump Buck Mulligan came from the stairhead, bearing a bowl of lather on which a mirror and a razor lay crossed. A yellow dressing gown, ungirdled, was sustained gently behind him on the mild morning air. He held the bowl aloft and intoned, "Introibo ad altari Dei." Halted, he peered down the dark winding stairs. "Come up, Kinch, come up, you fearful Jesuit." Solemnly he came forward and mounted the round gunrest. He faced about and blessed gravely thrice the tower, the surrounding land, and the awaking mountains. Then, catching sight of Stephen Dedalus, he bent towards him and made rapid crosses in the air, gurgling in his throat and shaking his head. "For this, O dearly beloved, is the genuine Christine, body and soul and blood and unce. Slow music, please." The plump shadowed face and sullen oval jowl recalled a prelate, patron of the arts in the Middle Ages. A pleasant smile broke quietly over his lips. "The mockery of it! Your absurd name, an ancient Greek!" He pointed his finger in friendly jest and went over to the parapet, laughing to himself. Stephen Dedalus stepped up, followed him wearily halfway, and sat down on the edge of the gunrest, watching him still as he propped his mirror on the parapet, dipped the brush in the bowl, and lathered cheeks and neck. "My name is absurd, too. Malachy Mulligan, two dactyls. But it has a Hellenic ring, hasn't it? Tripping and sunny like the buck himself. We must go to Athens. Will you come if I can get the aunt to fork out 20 quid?
"Tell me, Mulligan," Stephen said quietly.
"Yes, my love."
"How long is Haynes going to stay in this tower?"
Buck Mulligan showed a shaven cheek over his right shoulder.
"God, isn't he dreadful? A ponderous Saxon. He thinks you're not a gentleman. God, these bloody English, bursting with money and indigestion because he comes from Oxford. You know, Dedalus, you have the real Oxford manner. He can't make you out. Oh, my name for you is the best. Kinch, the knife blade."
He shaved warily over his chin. "He was raving all night about a black panther," Stephen said. "Where is his gun case?"
"A woeful lunatic," Mulligan said.
"Were you in a funk?"
"I was," Stephen said with energy and growing fear. "You saved men from drowning. I'm not a hero, however. If he stays on here, I am off."
Buck Mulligan frowned at the lather on his razor blade. He hopped down from his perch and began to search his trouser pockets hastily.
"Scutter," he cried thickly. "Lend us the loan of your nose rag to wipe my razor."
Stephen suffered him to pull out and hold up on show by its corner a dirty crumpled handkerchief. Buck Mulligan wiped his razor blade neatly. Then, gazing over the handkerchief, he said,
"The bard's nose rag. A new art colour for our Irish poets. Snot green. You can almost taste it, can't you?"
He mounted to the parapet again and gazed out over Dublin Bay, his fair oak-pale hair stirring slightly.
"God," he said, "isn't the sea what Algy calls it? A great sweet mother. The snot-green sea. The scrotum-tightening sea. Epe oinopa ponton. Ah, de..."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?